We are up to Perek Ches, Pasuk Chaf. No, I'm sorry, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Hashem Basami. Yesterday we discussed, we did the Pasuk. Maybe just review for one moment. I really enjoy that Pasuk Chaf. Of our Kotzir Kol HaKoyitz V'Anachnu Lo Noshanu. The harvest has passed, the summer has passed, the months of Tammuz and Iyar and Tammuz have passed, and we have not yet been saved. The simple understanding of the pasuk is that we had expectations that Mitzrayim, our allies, would come to our rescue, and they didn't show up. They did not arrive, and we thought the reason why they did not come is because they're preoccupied in the harvest season, in taking care of their own economy. But when they'll finish doing what they finish taking care of their needs, they will certainly be true to their word. They claim they have our back and they'll come and help us, but they didn't come. Lo nashanu. The drush, the machshava is all kotzir and koyitz both represent the concept of zman. Kates. Bikesh Yaakov legaloi sesa kates. Yaakov wanted to reveal to Klal Yisrael the kates hayamin, the time of Mashiach will come, the end of days. But suddenly the Shechina departed. He took that as a sign that he's not allowed to reveal this information to his children. However, throughout the generations, there have been Gedolei Yisrael, throughout all the generations, that have made calculations based upon what it says in Sefer Daniel to figure out when Mashiach will come. It doesn't mean it has to come at that point in time, but it means it's an Esim Sugal to come. Certainly after the very great tragedies in Klal Yisrael, there was an expectation that Mashiach was just around the corner. And yet, look what happened. Ovar Kotzir, the Kates has passed. Kola Koyitz, two different expressions, all of the end has come, and guess what? We're still here in Golis. Vanachnu Loy Noishanu, we are still here in Golis. Very famous story with the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim said that they want the brisker of, I don't know which brisker of this is said about, but one of the brisker, I don't know the details, after a certain point in his life, he retired from the Rabbanus. The Rabbanus in Europe was not like the Rabbanus in America. It's an entirely different job. And certain people served as Rabban for very, very large cities. It wasn't like today where a Rav does social work most of the time. The Rabbanim there, they were involved in Piske Halacha. They didn't even speak. They spoke at most twice a year. Today a Rav speaks every occasion. A Rav is asked to speak, at least every Shabbos, certainly every... Now it's a very busy season for Rabbanim, June. Speak by weddings, to speak at graduations. It's a whole different type of... Type of profession, but the brisker of, at one point in time, he retired, and then they sent from a very, very large city. They sent to him. They would like that he should be the Rav. So he said, no, under no condition. I've been there, done that, finished with this profession. And they said, there are 25,000 people that are waiting for you to take your position. And he said, 25,000 people, this is a true story, in the city, I don't know which city it was, a certain city wanted him to be the Rav. He says, I can't refuse them, even though this is the last thing in the world I would want to do, but if 25,000 people want me to serve as their Rav, I have no choice. I can't let them down. The Chavetz Chaim says the same thing when it comes to Mashiach. Hashem, for whatever reason, may not want to bring Mashiach. Just not on Hashem's agenda at this kufa, this point in time in world history, for whatever reason. But if Klal Yisrael would want Mashiach to come, it's certainly no worse than 25,000 people asking the brisker Rav to serve as the Rav of the city. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu let down? How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu turn away Klal Yisrael if Klal Yisrael would sincerely want one Mashiach to come? Fortunately, this pasuk here says that besides warning, but the zman of the past, Mashiach has not yet come. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk of Aleph. Al Shever Basani Chosh Barati. Now the question is, who is speaking? We'll see the difference of opinion between the Mefarshim and the Targum. Either Yirmiyah is speaking, or Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is speaking. Yerushalayim is taking on the characteristics of a human being is speaking, and it says, on the destruction of my nation, Hoshbarti, I've been broken, Kodarti, I have become darkened, Shamo Hechezi Sosni, Shama means also it's the expression of destruction. The Mitzudos David Zion, he translates Shama Timohon, astonishment. I'm in a state of shock. I think maybe over here the word shock is a better word. I am in a state of shock due to the destruction of my people. So we have over here basically three different expressions. Shvira, Shvira, Shparti, Kodarti, becoming black and dark, and Shama, shock has taken over me due to witnessing the churban of my people. Let's see the Mitzudas David, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Al Shevar, Al Hapuranoyos, Hoasid Lovoy. So you, the simple understanding of the Pasuk is that Yirmiyah is the one that is speaking, and he's saying that in regard to the Puranus, the punishment, the destruction that is coming upon my people, I have been broken, Kodarti, Hushchar Tari Vehatimahon Ochazosi, my complexion, my countenance has darkened, and I have been overcome with a shock, with a timahon in shock. Rashi says, Rashi pasuk chaf aleph kodarti loshon shachrus va'ifel, darkness. When a person is sick, his face becomes dark. Shama timahon hechezisasni hechezikasni achozatani, it has taken hold of me. Radak and pasuk chaf. Okay, first we have to understand is that according to the first interpretation of the Radak, which seemingly is the simple interpretation of the Mitzudas and Rashi as well, the speaker of this pasuk is Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah speaking I'm not sure how you say these words. The speaker is that he's describing the destruction that he witnesses for the churban of Klal Yisrael. Now let's, before we see the next words, let's jump to the Targum. Targum Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Targum says Amareis. Look at the words of Targum. Amareis Yerushalayim. Targum obviously is not like what the Radak said, that the speaker of this pasuk is Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is speaking, and it says Al Tavar Kinishta Diami, due to the destruction of my people, is Das Eis, I have been shaken. The word is Das Eis means I have been shaken. What else? Is Chafiu Ape, my face has turned ichrum uchamin kikidra ishtamomu achadosi, my face has become kikrum, like krum means black, like kikrum means, or maybe means, I'm not really sure what krum means, like the blackness of the pot, on the bottom of the pot is the filth, or the darkness, that when the pot becomes black, that is what my face has turned into, due to the destruction, and furthermore, I've been taken hold of shimamon, achozasni, I have been achadosni, I have been taken hold of terror. So we have over here, the first important point is that the speaker here is Yerushalayim, not Yirmiyah. Back to the right.
A phrase that's used in
Eichot. Yes, well, it's the same. Yes, yes.
From Radak's point of view, it's written by the same author.
Well, of course, that's a given. There's no question that the one who wrote Yirmiyah is the one who wrote Eichot. But I mean, saying that in Eichot, there the one that's speaking is Yerushalayim. In Eichot, more or less, the speaker is the Yerushalayim. So there would be the same exact meaning. Enochanami. So the Targum is following that approach where the speaker is Yerushalayim, and he quotes the Yerushalayim Parish, Shehu Maimer Yerushalayim, Shetirgim Amaras Yerushalayim, the Altavar Kenishto Kibamud, as we explained. And then he explains over here is that my face has darkened like the bottom of a pot. He adds that into the pasuk, which it does not say. The ikrum, what does it mean? Ikrum, it means kmo nischar komu panov, has darkened, has been charred, has been darkened through pain. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk chav beis. Yeshaya is speaking, and he says, Hatsari ein begilad. I'm sorry, Yirmiyah is speaking. Hatsari ein begilad. Gilad was was the place where we were the best doctors, the best hospitals. Like today, today we are the best hospitals. What?
The best spas.
The best
spas.
Okay, but here in this context, it means when it says the word refuah, like today. Today, you have certain cities where they're known. There are certain specialties where they're known. Boston, there are some very, very fantastic hospitals, and in New York, and then there is the Mayo Clinic. Where is the Mayo Clinic? Which state is that?
Rochester, Minnesota.
Minnesota, right? People, you go to Minnesota, the Mayo Clinic, and there are certain places that are known. There are certain places where they have certain expertise. So Gilad was. Gilad has a lot of murderers. So you need to have a lot of hospitals for all the victims. Maybe it could be. You never know. I don't know the answer. But here, Gilad was known. The way the Mefarshim are going this from, Gilad was the place that was known to have the best hospitals and the best medication. So here we're using this as a mashal for the sin, the sickness of Klal Yisrael. It's not a physical sickness. What?
It's Hatzaria and Begulad is a very famous expression.
Also, this is what it means.
Not only in Hebrew, it's in the St. James Bible. It's in Edgar Allan Poe's.
This is okay. This is so this is where it comes
Edgar
from.
Edgar Allan Poe's play The Raven. Is there no bomb in Gilead?
Okay, so but it's obviously it's taken all from here. This is the earliest source. Gilad, in the simple interpretation, is the place that was known in ancient times for the best treatment for sick people. And in those days, they used sari is some type of spice or some type of extract from a tree. Or from the earth, what exactly it is? It's one of the samamano of the Ketores. So it's the medication. It represents the medication. Is there no medication available in the best hospital in the world? Yerushalayim is the spiritual hospital of the world. That's why there are so many strange people roaming around. It's the spiritual hospital of the world, and if there's a place where a person can be cured from his spiritual sickness, from his choyli hanefesh, from his averos, certainly it can be found, it can be done in Yerushalayim. Therefore, Yirmiyah is complaining, why didn't you, my people, take advantage of the opportunity to heal yourself from your sins while you were still in Yerushalayim, while the Shechinah was still resting in the Beis HaMikdash. Hatzari is the medication. Is there no medication in the Gilad, in the hospital of Gilad? Im Rofei Ein Sham, are there no doctors to administer the medication? Of course there is. Are there no prophets in Yerushalayim? Are there no Kohanim that are tzaddikim that are there in Yerushalayim to help you overcome your averos? Of course. Therefore, kimadu loy olsa, why then has it not come up? Aruchas, the healing. Aruchas is a very common word in the Gemara. The healing, basami, why have you not been healed? So everything here in this pasuk revolves around the mashal of a doctor, medication, and healing. Let's see the Mitsudos David. Pasuk Chof Beis. Hatzari in Begilad, v'chi ein Begilad tzari. Is there no... how do you translate tzari? Bomb. Is there no bomb? Lirapois boy hacholi, to heal the sickness. Haloi sham hu mikoyim hatzor. This is the source. This is where it's found. V'chi ein sham rofei. Is there? Are there no doctors? Ladas oifin harafua. How to administer the medication? U'madu loy nisrapes basmi. Why then have you not been healed? Ritzon leimar. V'chi ein biyadam toru mitzos. Don't you have in your possession the ultimate blueprint for healing? Torah u'mitzvos. Do you not have available chachamim lehoyroisam haderech to teach you? Umaduim came lo hechazirum lemutov levatel es hagzera. Why have you not taken advantage of the tshuva in order to levatel the gzera of churban and galus? Rashi pasuk chav beis hatzari in the Gilad. There's no bomb in Gilad. Shatzari bo misham. That's where it comes from. Kmoshe nemar ali Gilad ascend. Tegilad ukichi tsari, and take for yourself some balm, medication. Kiloimar, v'chi lo hayu l'chem anashim tzadikim, mimi l'lloid, from who to learn, v'yeitivu darcheihem, and to improve your ways. Of course, you have no one to blame but yourselves. Aruchas, aruchas means refuos, it means healing. Why then have you not been healed from your malady? Let's go to the Radak. Radak pasik chof, chof beis. Hatzari begilot, amar derech moshel. Im ein tzari begilot, is there no tzari in gilot? Im rofei ein sham lirapos ami mimakos from their wound. The gilot hayu makim atzari. K'moshen emar. Gamkein ali gilot ukechi tzari. V'hi refua lachaloim koshim. And this is the ultimate refua for the most severe illnesses. K'mo nishichas hanochash. Uzulasai being bitten by a snake. Kolaymar lo yeloch lolohem shalom mizos atzara. V'chi ein chosid, is there no reason why you can't have peace from this sara? V'chi ein chosid b'neihem sheichaper hakel bado. Are there no tzaddikim among you that cannot heal, cannot be of assistance to heal you from your spiritual sickness? Aruchas is refuos. V'yonis antirgim omar. Omar yimyo nevio v'gomri kamod. The Targum is exactly the same thing. Look at the Targum, it's exactly the same thing. Pasuk chav beis in the Targum. Pasuk says, Omar Yirmiya Nivya. Notice the Targum has to switch back. The Targum has to switch back to here because since the Targum Pasuk Chof Aleph told us that the speaker is Yerushalayim, now the Targum has to tell us that the speaker here is Yirmiya. Omar Yirmiya Nivya Dilma, maybe Lo Is B. Oivodin Tovin. Are there no tzaddikim? So he very clearly interprets the pasuk as a reference. He goes right to the mashal. Are there? Don't you have good deeds? Ovodin tovin lemive al beis Yisrael. In order, in the merit of these good deeds, to seek a zechus for klal Yisrael. Haloi machneid haveis leul fonei. Now here he brings over here something I want to mention. Okay, you should have desired for the teaching. Havesi, you should have, machmeh means to desire, havesi, l'ulfoneh, the teaching, the eliyah neviyah demigilad. So this is the Targum's interpretation that Gilad is a code word for Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi is called the Giladi. The Giladi, the one who comes from Gilad. Now the truth is Eliyahu comes from many Shatim. There are conflicting Mamari Chazal as to who Eliyahu traces his lineage. And they're all true because obviously to many generations you come from different mothers, different fathers, going back the generations. Therefore there are different, he attributes his lineage to different Shvatim or different locations. But among them, on top of the list, is Gilad. So here the question is, why were you not mevakesh for the coming of Moshiach? Eliyahu hine anochi shalech lechem eis Eliyahu hanavi lifnei bo yoyim Hashem hagadol v'hanoira. Now this is very interesting because this teaches us is that Moshiach could have come. I mean, it's a simple idea. During the yearning for Moshiach doesn't go only today. It's not something which now that we have the Bayis Rishon was destroyed, the Bayis Sheni was destroyed. So now for the very first time we think about this thing called Mashiach. Mashiach was something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring even during the time of the Bayis Rishon. Chizkiyahu, Chazal say Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach. And Sancheref Goygu Magoyk, and it would have happened. It's just because Chizkiyahu blew it, he did not sing Shir. So you see, Mashiach was Mesugal to come even during the time of the Bayis Rishon. Here, there's an interesting emphasis that now at the time of Tzara, this very great moment of Tzara, when the Beis Hamikdash is about to be destroyed, there's a Tzviya, there is a complaint against Klal Yisrael. Why didn't you demand Mashiach should come? That's very interesting because when is the demand? At a time of Tzara, when things are not going our way and we find ourselves in an Eitz Tzara, then a person is aroused for the coming of Mashiach. Back to the Targum. Have ulfona de Eliyahu nevi'a de Megillah de Pisgomohi inun. His words, his teaching is asusa, is a healing. Arei al dolo tavu b'chein, because you did not desire Mashiach to come, b'chein lo saleikas asu limosa kinishta diami. Therefore, you're not going to go up. The healing will not come up for the kinishta diami. The healing will not arise and he come for the assembly of the Jewish people. If you would have demanded Eliyahu Navi to come at this point in time, it would have come. You would have been healed, but you did not demand Eliyahu Navi to come. Therefore, you will not be healed. There's an interesting idea. You know, we twice a year we say Lashana Haba Birushalayim after Yom Kippur. The very last thing we say on Yom Kippur is Lashana Haba Birushalayim, and at the Seder Lashana Haba Birushalayim. But there's another time we say it a little bit differently, and that is on Tisha B'Av. Ayelusi Leazrosi Tarti Chazos Ayumasi. This is an expression that is found in the Kinos. My nation, every single year, says, He Hashana Hazos. Mashiach is going to come this year. The question is, why is it that after Yom Kippur and after the Seder, do we say Lashana Haba, next year. Next year in Jerusalem. Not this year. Right? Isn't that what we say? Lashana Haba Birushalayim Habenuya. And on Tisha B'Av, in the Kinos, we say, Ayumasi B'chol Shana, every single year, Oimere says, He Hashana Hazos. This year. We make a demand, we make a bakasha, Mashiach should come this very year. Why Tisha B'Av do we pray this year? And why after Yom Kippur and at the Seder do we pray next year?
But when you say Shana B'Av Yerushalayim, you're implying that it's going to happen now and next year will be in Jerusalem.
That's a valid answer. I accept that answer. But the expression, it lacks desperation. It's true. Next year we should be in Yerushalayim because Mashiach will come at some time during this year. It's a good answer. But let's focus on the emphasis. On Tisha B'Av, we're not even focusing on next year. Let's focus. We don't say, next year we shouldn't be at Tisha B'Av, we should be in Yerushalayim. Everything should be fine and good. Ayumasi b'chol shana oimeres hi hashana hazos. We focus on the zos. We don't focus on what's going to be next year. Yes?
I think the concept is that Tisha B'Av has to do with tzaras. We have so much tzaras, it has to come now.
Exactly. Think about it. Yom Kippur, the day is over. The average person, Chazal was very realistic. The average person, when Yom Kippur and Elon, you pat yourself on the shoulder, pat yourself on the back and you say, I'm a tzaddik, look at this, look what I did. I spent Elul and the Aser Yemei Tshuva, I did Tshuva, I fasted the whole day, I davened the whole day, I'm a tzaddik. And now, Ne'ilah, coming to an end, in a few minutes, I'm going to go home, I'm going to eat a delicious, sumptuous dinner, and next week is going to be Sukkot, and my family is coming, or we're going away on vacation. It's wonderful. Life is wonderful. Someone says to you, well, what about Mashiach? Don't you want Mashiach to come? Are you so happy with yourself that you're a tzaddik, you got kapara, and you have a good supper coming up? Mashiach? Yeah, it's a good thing, Mashiach. Next year. Don't bother me now. I'm hungry. I have to go home and eat. I have to prepare for Yom Tov. My grandchildren are coming. Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim. Seder. You just finished having a delicious Shulchan Aruch. Afikoymen. Your grandchildren sat around the Seder. Nachas. Life is wonderful. And now someone says to you, but you know, this is not the real deal. The Karm Pesach. You're supposed to be in Yerushalayim. Okay, you're right. Lashana Haba. Next year. Don't bother me. Don't get in my way now. I'm having a good time now. Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim. On Tisha B'Av, it's early in the morning. There's no food. You're very uncomfortable. Not wearing leather shoes. You're sitting on the ground. It's very and you dwell upon the tzoros of Klal Yisrael. There is no time to think about next year. You think about this year. Ayumasi b'chol shona, my nation, every single year, Oymer says, he hashona hazos. Mr. Glad, exactly this is what you're trying to say. When you're focusing on the tzaris, there's no, it doesn't even enter your mind the concept of next year. Oh, by next year, Mashiach should come, I should be somewhere else. The need is immediate. And that, to some degree, is what the Targum is coming to focus on. The Targum over here says, here we are dealing with a time of great tzara. The Churban is about to come. We just mentioned the previous pasuk. Three things are taken over Yerushalayim. I become broken. I become dark. I'm in a state of shock. And what's the next thing? The next thing is Hatzari Ein Begilad, Mashiach, Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu Hagiladi, Mashiach. When Rachmana Litzlan, there is tzara, the desperation for Geula is immediate. And that is why Yirmiyah here is focusing on the Giladi at this moment in time. There's an urgency for Mashiach to come. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Now we begin pasuk Chav Gimel. Okay, one more pasuk Chav Gimel. This, in fact, is the opening words of one of the kinos on Tisha B'Av. Mi Yitein Rosh Shimayim. Who is the speaker? Simply refers to Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah is saying, if only my entire head shall be filled with water. Now this is a very interesting phenomenon, and I have no idea how this works. You have to speak to a doctor, speak to people who are an knowledgeable. Shalom Aleichem. How are you? Welcome back. From Milwaukee.
Yeah, I had a walk. Flight was good.
Okay, so Mi Yitein Rosh Shimayim. Now, let me just introduce this with a ma'aseh from the Chassam Sofer. There is a legend that the Chassam Sofer, Erev Tisha B'Av, in the morning of Tisha B'Av, he would learn Sefer Eicha. He would learn Sefer Eicha, Megillas Eicha. He prepared for Tisha B'Av, and he collected his tears in a cup, in a kois. He had a goblet, and the goblet was in front of him, and the tears. He cried so much in preparation for Tisha B'Av, he filled up an entire kois of tears. At the Sudas HaMafsekes, now don't faint now when I tell you this, but at the Sudas, this is what it says in all the books, at the Sudas HaMafsekes, he drank, the last thing he consumed in preparation for Tisha B'Av, he drank his own tears. Mm-hmm. He drank his own, a whole cup of tears. Now people have later on come along and said, it's almost impossible to do this. Even a person, Rachman Lassan, cries, the body cannot produce enough tears, enough moisture, where you can fill up a whole cup, even the smallest cup. Let's go talk about the cup. You know, enough to have a cup of the Chazanish here. Yeah. You can have a small share. I mean, how much liquid already can the body produce that comes out in the form of tears? But there is such a legend that the intensity of his tsar was so great he was able to produce. Now, over here, Yirmi is exactly saying that my tsar is so great, me, Tenef, is out of only my entire head would be a jug of water. My entire head would be just pure liquid, and all of this liquid would come out, me, Ten Roshi Mayim, so that the Eini, my eyes, would be the spout of my head. The Eini Mikardima would be the source of the tears that would flow from my head. The Evke, I would cry. Yomam Valayla, I would cry continuously by day and by night. Es concerning Chalei Vasami, concerning the slain of my nation. Now let's just, before we get into the movement, first let's explain some of the ideas over here. First of all, who is saying this? So Pashto says Yirmiyah is saying this, and it's a very great expression of grief. And as we mentioned, this indeed, these three words are the opening words of one of the kinois on Tisha B'Av, one of the first ones, maybe the third or fourth one, Mi Yitein Rosh Shimayim. Okay, now the problem now. Ani, it's another one. Ani, it's the same idea. Now the problem with this pasuk is, if Yirmiyah is actually saying this, it's impossible because a person cannot cry continuously yoimam volayla, because a person needs to sleep. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made man. A man must sleep at least at night. At some point in time, he has to sleep. Therefore, the Medrash says, being that it cannot be that a person can cry continuously day and night, the one that's really speaking is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem is saying, the tzar that I have witnessing the Churban Beis HaMikdash is so great, if only, Hashem is saying, Roishi, my head should be Mayim, I will cry day and night, because Hashem does not sleep. Hinei lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. Hashem does not sleep. Now, if this interpretation is true, it's just very interesting. The interesting thing we have over here, if you take everything together, Mr. Brizak, welcome back. It comes back, we have over here three psukim together, and each pasuk vacillates or changes from who is the speaker. Who is the speaker? Going back, when we started today with pasuk Chaf Aleph, who is the speaker? Al Shever Bas Ani Hoshbarti. Who is the speaker? Yerushalayim was the speaker, according to the interpretation of the Targum. Pasuk Chaf Beis Hatzari in the Gilad. Who was the speaker? Yirmiyah is the speaker. And now when we come to the last pasuk, Mi Yitein Rosh Shemayim, who is the speaker? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the speaker. So it's very interesting, it's the last three pasukim of this perek, it encompasses everyone. Everyone has a different expression of grief. Yerushalayim is in mourning. Yirmiyah is in mourning. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is in mourning. Like we know, we're going up Madregos. Yerushalayim, even though it's Kodesh, it's not a human being. Yerushalayim is not a, it's not a human being. Yerushalayim. Then we go up to the Navi, Yirmiyah HaNavi. Then we go up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We go up three Madregos, three different people speaking, expressing their tzar, their frustration over the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Before we see the first, there is another very interesting interpretation of Medrash, what it means, Mi Yitein Rosh Shemayim. We have translated the word Roshi to mean my head. If only my head, all of the muscles, the tissue, and everything that's in the head, the basar and the atzam, gidim, the atzamos and basar, will be turned into water so that my eyes will be a spout of water to release water from my head. The Medrash says Roshi does not necessarily mean head. Roshi means beginning. And Mayim refers to the beginning of creation. Bereishis bar lokim eis hashamayim eis haaretz v'haaretz haisa sohu v'vohu v'choshech al pnei asahom v'ruach merachefes al pnei hamayim. So what do we learn about this? In the beginning of creation, the earth was just covered by water. Then Vayoymer Elokim Yehi Or, creation began, everything began to unfold, and the chulu, we have what we have today. What this pasuk is saying is a very, very deep idea, and this ties into the kina. You have to say the kina in more detail is, if only Mi Yitein Roshi, if only I can go back to the beginning of time, Mayim, when the world was a state of water, and we can start all over again. Right? How many times we have situations where things get really out of hand, and what is the goal? Let's do it. Let's start all over again. A fresh deck of cards. Let's throw out all, let's just like, no, clean house. Well, clean house, everyone is fired. We're going to hire a whole new team. What?
Declutter.
That's it. We're going to hire new executives, new workers, new ball players, whoever you want to do, and we're going to start all over again. And this time we will learn from our mistakes and make sure that this does not happen. Mi Yitein, if only Roshi, I can go back to the beginning, at a time when the world was v'ruach Elokim merachefes al pnei hamayim, and take with in mind everything that happened, the severity, the consequence of doing averos, and start all over again, and then we will do things. Things will be done. But now that things will be done correctly, and we won't come to such a matzav. Now, obviously, those words don't fit well with the continuation. The eini mekardima, but the Medrash does. The Medrash likes to take snippets, likes to take pieces of word. few words in the middle of a pasuk to bring out an idea. That's not something which ever prevented the Medrash to connect a couple of words with the words that follow. That's never been a problem for Medrash, but to bring out a very powerful idea that we do wish we can go back and we can start all over again, keeping in mind our mistakes and making sure that we do not repeat them. The difference between a fool, what's the difference between a fool and a wise man? A fool and a wise man both make mistakes. In tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechta. The only difference is a chacham does not repeat his mistakes. A fool does the same thing over and over again, does not learn from his mistakes. Yes?
Maybe it's a stretch a little bit, going back to the Kos. You say Kos Yeshua.
Kos Yeshua's Esa. Instead of lifting up...
So everything, how his help or salvation may be...
Instead of a cup of tears. Instead of a cup of tears, it should be a kois of Yeshua's. Very nice. Very nice. Okay, let's see now the Mepharshim. Pasuk Chav Gimel, last pasuk, the Mitzvah Stavid. Mi Yiten Halavai. The Haya Roishi, my entire head would be Milo Mei Bechi. Would be one collection, a bucket of tears. The Eini Haya Mekar HaNoyvei Adima, and my eyes would be the spout from which the tears would flow. I would then have enough tears to keep on going. In other words, I would have a reservoir of tears to cry day and night on those that have been slain. It seems that, well, why does he want to do this here, Mia? So it seems that obviously this is probably a study in psychology. It's obviously it's comforting to cry. If only I can cry. When you cry, you let out your frustration. It's a form of healing. To let out the tears, it's a way of relief. And the more you cry, the more nechama you have. Therefore, he's asking, halavai, I had a bucket, a reservoir of tears, in order that I can fully recover from the tragedy. If I run out of tears, I can't cry anymore. I can't cry. I don't have that release. Don't have that release. It's still built up in me. It's still within me, and I still will suffer for the rest of my life. Right, Nebuchadnezzar prevented, very good. Not prevented them crying. It's interesting that there's the story with Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. I saw this in the Medrash yesterday. The Shmuel Kohen Gadol. There are many. We once actually spent time with this in the summer. Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, when he was killed, the daughter of the Hegmon saw him. She saw him crying. She saw him, and she said to her father, "Spare him. He's beautiful. He's such a beautiful person. It's not kedai to go and to take the life of such exquisite beauty. We'll never come across again." So the Hegmon said, "No, I can't. There's no choice. This man, this Yishmol Kohen Gadol, must die." So she said, "Okay, so let's do the next best thing. Let's preserve the yoifi of his tzuras haponim." And they flayed his skin while he was still alive. And the piyut goes on to say, when they reached the Mekayim HaTfilin, when they came to the Mekayim HaTfilin, he gave out a shriek, and the entire world shook. Okay, that's the basic gist of what it says in the piyut on Tisha B'Av, Eila Eskara, and what it's Arzeh HaLavon on Tisha B'Av, when it says Eila Eskara on Yom Kippur. If you look in the Midrashim, and there are many Midrashim that review and record exactly what happened. In one of the versions, this is very interesting, different, it says, what caused the daughter of the Hegmon to be overcome by his beauty, and why all of a sudden now? All of a sudden now, she sees his beautiful, but she did not see him beautiful in the past. So it says in the Midrash, when he was crying, the beauty she saw came forth when he was crying. When she saw him in the street, she saw a picture of him, or they had a portrait of him, she wasn't impressed. Okay, he's a good-looking man. There are a lot of good-looking people out there in the world. But when she saw it, so it says in the Medrash, when she saw him crying over the death of Rabbi Shimon the Nasi, Rabbi Shimon the Nasi was killed. Hanasi was killed first, and Rabbi Shmuel picked up his head and put his head, held the head, the decapitated head in his hands, and he cried. The crying is what aroused the daughter of the Hegemon to say to her father, such beauty cannot perish from this world, cannot be taken from this world. What do you see from that? The greatest yoifi in a person is expressed at the time when he cries. Yirmiyah here was obviously a very beautiful person. That's what it has to mean. If Yirmiyah over here was a person, mi yitein roshi mayim, if Yirmiyah over here is expressing, if only I can have the koyach to cry, and I need a reservoir of tears to do so, and if yoifi in the Gemara, in the Medrash, is described as the moment when a person's true beauty comes forth, it shows what he's all about, what is his essence. What is yoifi? Yoifi is the inner beauty. The inner beauty comes forth when a person is extremely emotional and it comes forth with tears. This is a very beautiful moment, this pasuk for Yirmiyah Hanavi. Mi yiten roshi mayim. Okay, let's now go to Rashi. Rashi, there is none. Let's go to the Radak. Mi Radak pasuk of Gimel. Mi yiten roshi mayim. Mi yiten shech mi yiten. If only halavai. Sheyia roshi kuloi mayim. A reservoir of water, the zoiv derech eni bebechi, and my eyes should flow with tears. V'chein tia eni mekar dima, and he goes into the second half of the pasuk. My eyes should be the mekar, should be the source of dima. Shelo yifsak, it should not come to an end. What am I crying for? I'm crying for Ace Chalalei Vasami, the slain of my nation, Misha Boichim Olav Nase. Now here he's going to some grammar. Misha Boichim Olav Nase Kepoyel Lebechi. I'm a worker for crying. The Imlo Yasigenu. Kein Derech Loshan Uiri. I'm not sure what this means. V'chein Amar Vayef Oisei Aviv. V'chein V'liv Koisa. I'm not sure. He's giving the examples of how the crying in Tanakh. I'm not sure. He's trying to explain the grammatical form of the word. The person has to do an action. Crying does not happen on its own. The person has to exert himself to cry. And you see that when with regard to Yaakov. I think what he's saying over here is that a person is in control. What he seems to be saying over here is that a person is in control of his tears. When a person wants to cry, he can cry. Yosef, Yaakov wanted to cry. That's why it says Vayev Oisoy Aviv. He chose to cry. Veliv Koisa. The Yifas Toya, she's taken, they shave her hair, they cut off her nails, they let her nails grow long, they minabel her, and now she cries for her mother and her father that she'll never see again. It's up to her, this is the instruction that she should do. Something along those lines, more than that, I don't know. He could not control himself, so that was problematic. That was considered a chasaron, because he was able to control himself, and then he could have brought the gula right away.
That it wasn't his, up to him. God made him cry.
Okay, interesting. So that's an interesting idea, which requires further study. To what degree is a person able to control himself with regard to crying? Can you choose? I want to cry right now. I always wondered about this. Actors in television, the movies. What?
Shmuel says that when you laugh, you always have tears.
Yeah.
Because you're crying at the
Horeb. And the Tsar. So that's right.
Yeah. So you couldn't cry at the Horeb?
He could not cry.
In that generation, they were so...
He didn't let them cry. Well, me...
They didn't realize the greatness of it. Tomorrow is the Yahrzeit of Shmuel Kohen Gadol.
Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. Wow, we know for sure tomorrow is the day he died. Yeah. That's Sora Harugi Malchus.
And there's a minute to say the Slicha of El Esker
tomorrow. Okay, wow. So we're actually okay, timely.
With actors, it's probably they cut onions in front of them.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure there are some techniques. That's what they say. The Share Demos. The Zavar. Many Gedolei Yisrael say the Share Demos Lo Ninalu. Even though Bisman since Chumash Hamidrash, the gates haven't been closed, but the gates of tears have not been closed. The question is, if they've not been closed, why do you need gates? Why do you need doors? They've not been closed. They were never closed. You don't have doors altogether. So the answer is there's something called false tears. just because the person cries, crocodile tears, just because the person cries does not necessarily mean those cries, those tears are sincere. A person can bring himself to cry for no reason whatsoever. Or a person can, the others say it a little bit differently, a person can cry over narishkeit. You cry for nonsense, stupid things. So that's nothing to cry about. So those type of tears, there are doors in Shemayim. There are doors. The difference is, if the tears are sincere, then the doors are not locked, they're open. But if the tears are not sincere, they're for the wrong reason, or they're just not, they're forced upon a person, brings upon himself, then the gates indeed have been closed.
Akizur also asked to think of something personal,
sad,
horrible.
But that's that's very difficult.
Yeah. Some could do it.
Some could do it. That's a very. I think the average person couldn't do it. You can think, we always are in a state of restraint. Most people are always trying to make believe everything is fine and good, and it's that we do that to ourselves to such a degree we can't even. If we want to cry, we can't even cry. All right. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. Yosef, from the crying is a very big topic. Crying. Yosef from all of the Ishei HaTanakh, the one that always takes up the discussion is Yosef HaTzadik. It says in the parashas Vayigash, Vayigash. It says there many, many times he cried.
Right.
Crying over and over again. Yosef was a Baal Bechi. Bechi comes from the word Becha. It says when Yaakov gave him brachos, Becha Yivarech Yisrael Lemar Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Vechim Nasha. Why did Yaakov Avinu begin the bracha Becha Yivarech? So I remember seeing one of the farshim goes, Becha is the essence of Yosef. Yosef was a Baal Bechi. The Shorish of Bechi means Beis Chaf, Becha. Becha means it's in you. It's emotion. It's something very deep, very profound. Therefore, and that came out in Yosef's tears. Therefore, it's worthy that you should be the Makar for Bracha for Klal Yisrael, because Bracha has to come from the source, has to come from Becha, from deep, deep down inside. Tears can only come when you arouse an emotion that's very, very deep. Yosef had that koyach. Therefore, he had that koyach. He was one that can be ma'orir bracha, because bracha also comes from a source, comes from something that's very, very deep, deep in Shemayim. It has to be rooted in a deep source. Interesting that the letters of the Aleph Beis are also Becha. There are 22 letters of the, all of these things go together. There are 22 letters in the Aleph Beis, but the letters of Becha, Bach, Becha, and the Levim Shevet Levi, who serve Klal Yisrael, entire Shevet Levi, which includes the Kohanim and Levim, they numbered in the Midbar 22,000. Last week's parish, exactly 22,000. All of these things are related. Tears, Becha, Yivarech Yisrael Leimar, and the 22,000 Levim, members of Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's finish up. I think this pretty much finishes up Perek Ches. Now we begin Perek Ches. Now we begin Perek Tes. Mi Yitneni Vamidbar. Now, who is the speaker? So again, there's a disagreement. A disagreement is Yirmiyah speaking, or is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking? If Yirmiyah is speaking, Yirmiyah is basically saying that I can't take this anymore. I cannot tolerate, cannot watch the pain of my people. I gotta get out of here. I'm on the first plane out. I'm going to an island, a desert island in the desert, a place where I will be sheltered from witnessing the horrors that are coming upon my people. Mi yitneni, if only I can be put v'amidbar in the desert, miloin orchim, in a hotel of guests, the ezvo esami, and I can leave my people, I can abandon my people, the elocha meitam, and I can go away from them. I can't take what I'm saying, and it's not just the tsar, and this important, ki chulam min no afim, all of them are adulterers. They're all atzeres is a collection of bogdim, of bandits, traitors, liars, robbers. Bogdim can mean many things. People that are no good. So again, this can possibly mean that Yirmiyah is speaking. He's saying that I cannot tolerate to be among people who are evildoers, and therefore I just got to get out of here. He's like saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I quit. I cannot do my job. Give them mussar. These people are just not interested. They're not capable of receiving mussar. The other interpretation is that the one that's speaking in this pasuk is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying over here is, I can't take this anymore. I can no longer allow my Shechina to rest. I can rest in Klal Yisrael. I have to go and leave these people. Now, if we go back to the previous ministry we had before, there's a parallel to what we said before in this pasuk. Before we explained Mi'itein Rosh Hashanah, it meant, I want to start all over again. If only Roshi, we can begin all over again. We can go back to the world, when the world was Beruach Halakim Rachavis Al Pnei Hamayim. Here it's the same exact theme. Mi Yitneni Vamidbar. If only we can go back to the desert. This is now approximately, this pasuk is taking place 480 years since Klal Yisrael entered the Midbar, at the time when they received the Torah, when they said, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Nasa V'Nishma. Just like we said before, if only we could start all over again and go back to the Maisa Bereishis. If we can't go back to Maisa Bereishis, let's at least go back to the Zman of Matan Torah, when we said, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Nasa V'Nishma, Mi Yitneni V'Midbar, in the desert, and we will learn from our mistakes, and we will never come to a point like we are in today, where we are on the verge, on the brink of destruction. Let's see the mitzudos. Pasuk Aleph, mi tenein b'midbar, mi tein li litzorchi, who would provide for my needs? Liyos b'midbar mokem alon loholchei orach, I can be in the desert, in a resort. Ve'ezva, oh, so yis yazuv esami l'lachas meitam el malon b'midbar, I would leave them, I would abandon them and go to a hotel in the desert because I can't witness what I'm seeing. Because all the people here, they are wicked people. They are atzeres is kivutzas anoshim boidim, a collection of evil people. Rashi, pasuk aleph, says just one word, atzeres boidim, kinesios boidim, a collection of evil people. Radak, atzeres boidim, shahim in neetzarim yach, pasuk aleph, midin malon b'midbar, yesh bote moloin, lo'eve oirach, sheyolinu sham alayla. There are motels. Motel 6, right? Motel 6 feet under. No, I never heard that joke before. Okay. Me, that motel. Okay, whatever. Different type of motel. Yesh bate mi maloin loyber hadra d'arch shayelinu sham
b'layla. No, it's two words. It should be yesh bate.
Yesh what? I have a different print. Yoyish batei malon lo every arach sheyelinu shamalayla. The Amar Hanavi, the Radak says, who is the speaker? It is Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah speaking. Sheyis avel yoshachin ba'isa hamalon. I wish I can go. I can hide. Shlo yira oid es yisrael. I don't want to see them. I quit my job. Kilo yuchal liros rasam. I cannot witness to see their evil. Atzeres baydim. Shehem netzodim yachad l'rabbis beg bogeid v'sheker. Beg bogeid means rebellion and falsehood. V'chein tagim yonason si'as shakorin. They are a band of liars. V'adoyni avi zechon levracha perash milos baydim min yoresh etzer zeyatzar, person who is ruler. They are bogeid zeyatzar ba'mi. Okay, boygate, I'm not sure. I don't know what this means. I don't know what it means. Yoresh etzer. Etzer. Atzeres. Atzeres means, it means rulership. Zeyatzar barmi. So it's atzeres boygdim. They are a gang. Atzeres means like a gang. A gang of people who are in control. The mafia. They are in control. So according to Rash, the first interpretation just means a collection. A collection of evil people. The second interpretation means they are a gang, meaning tough, difficult people who rule and dominate and flex their muscles. Okay, let's just see the Targum.
Is this Yirmiyahu's personal thing, or is this the
No, it would appear here that Yirmiyahu is the one that is speaking. Yirmiyahu is speaking, and he's speaking, and that's what the Radak says. Now, the Targum, it's not clear. The Medrash definitely says the one that's speaking here is Hashem. Hashem is speaking. Hashem is saying, I can't take these people anymore. Enough is enough. I can no longer tolerate to rest my Shechina in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, in a city that is 100% corrupt. If you look at the Targum says, Mi Yitneni V'midbira, Beis Ma Bosas, in a place of a hotel. Bosas is a place to lodge, like bos means to lie down. A day orchin on the road. The eshbok yas kenisha diami, I will abandon my people. The ehach nil vashoin, and I will distance myself from them. I will go away from them. Are kulhoin zanoin, they commit adultery. Si'as, they are a band of Shikrin. Now the Targum does not tell us, in the last few psukim, the Targum was very meticulous to tell us who is the speaker. Omar Yirmiyah Hanavi or Omar Yerushalayim. In this pasuk, the Targum over here is silent. He's not telling us who the speaker is, which allows it for interpretation. Let's go to pasuk Beis, Vayadrichu es l'shoinam kasha. Now we come to another major sin. And this is the sin of Lashon Hara. Vayadrichu means they bend. Now the truth is, the word Vayadrichu, sin of woman, means to step, derech. And this is something which is true in ancient times.
Dorach.
So why is it called Dorach Kashna? We think that the shooting arrows is you pull back the bow of the arrow with your bare hands. That is true, but the real professionals do not pull back the bow with their hands. They lie down on the ground and they pull down the bow of the string of the bow, the yeser, with their feet. And that enables them to exert, to create enormous force where the arrow can fly a very, very great distance. I once saw a documentary where they showed during the time of the Crusades, it was a very big mystery how a certain battle was won by, I don't know, I think it was by the Muslims against the Christians. It was a very big mystery until they recently discovered the technique. The technique was they would actually lie down. They had hundreds of soldiers lying down, archers, they're lying down, and they were able, and they had these special types of bows which are very, very large, and they used enormous force with their feet to pull the yeser, the string of the bow, to shoot at a very great distance. And they had hundreds of them shooting at exactly the same moment. So if you were on the wrong team, suddenly there was a hundreds
barrage
of arrows shot in one moment all over, and you basically, and then they calculated the distance of how far these arrows would go. They were very precise, very scientific in how they calculated with how far they can shoot these arrows, an enormous distance. But it had to be done using the koyach of your feet. And exactly what the Mefarshim over here say, because it says over here vayid rihu comes from Lashon of derech. Derech means the road. The road is your feet. It's associated with your feet. Your feet pressed down on the road. So here it means also vayidchu es l'shoinam kashtam. Their tongues acted as missiles, acted as arrows that were shot through preparation of exerting the pressure on the string. Kashtam sheker v'loy. Now here's another very, very frightening expression. V'loy le'amuno gavru v'aretz. They did not prevail in the land for the sake of faith. Ki meira el ra yot sahu. They went out from one evil. They went from one evil to another evil. The oisi lo yod unu mashem. They did not know me. In other words, this. So sometimes you go look around in society today, and you see two people fighting. And what I'm saying over here is off the record, but sometimes you see two people in there. They're trying, vying to get a position. They want to become the rabbi, or they want to be a Rosh Hashiva, or they want to be president. Right. So they're trying. Each one is campaigning. They're campaigning to achieve a certain position in the Jewish community. So ask them, why? Why do you want to be the president? Why do you want to be the rabbi? Why do you want to be the Rosh Hashiva? Why do you want to give the highest share in the yeshiva? Why do you want to be Mashgiach? L'shem Shemayim. L'shem Shemayim. I want to be Marbitz Torah. Torah, Torah, Torah. I want to be mashpia, be marbitz Torah. I'm doing it. I'm being goyver. Because this fellow, he's the oh, my competition. He's not going to be mashpia on the Talmidim, the right hashkafa, the right derech. So therefore, I have to be goyver. I have to prevail and make sure that Klal Yisrael gets their money's worth. So over here, then that's what was going on. You look at the side, the people, they were striving, they were competing to become the Rosh HaYeshiva. And over here, the Navi says, bunch of baloney. The loy le'emuna gavru v'aretz. One man did not prevail upon his fellow man for the l'shem shamayim. It was not for faith. It was because gaiva. It was because I'm going to show him up. I hate him. I want the money. I want the kavod. It's not about the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not about his Torah. It's about me. It's about my kavod, my money, and my honor. And that's unfortunately a very big problem. Mitoch Shelo Lishma. That's the common answer. You're right. Hashem created the Yetzirah, but also the Yetzirah Torah Torah Tavlin. You're right. So Inachanami, I'm doing it for my covet. But maybe somewhere down the line, I'll do it L'shem Shemayim. It's not such a bad answer, because if you're going to be 100% sincere, then I don't think we'll get anywhere. But this is a very, very powerful words. V'loy le'emuna gavru v'aretz. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled and think that one man is prevailing upon another man. It's l'shem shemayim. I'll say it's l'shem shemayim. It's all l'shem shemayim. Yirmiyah says, I see through the facade. It's all sheker. Ki me'ra'o el ra'o yotza. They go from one evil to another evil. They plot and plan. They undermine. They speak lashon hara. They try to do harm to their friend. And the oisi lo yadunum Hashem. Make no mistake about it. It's not about me. It's not about the ribbono shel olam. Don't go say you're doing it l'shem shemayim. You don't even know from me. It's all about yourself. It's an unbelievable pasuk. Let's see over here what it says over here in the mitzudas pasuk beis sevashah pasuk beis. The Pasuk says, "They vayadruchu es l'shoinam." His minu vayadruchu, on a very simple translation, means they prepare. His minu es l'shoinam shehi lohem l'keshes. They use their tongue which they use as a bow, laharoig anoshim imerchok, to kill people at a distance. Kemo shohargin bekeshes oisam ba'oisam. His minu l'dabesheker, like people use bows and arrows to kill other people. They use their tongue. The only difference is they're using their tongue instead of using arrows. The tongue is sharper than the sword. We use the word hadracha, which means to pull back the string. This that we find that some prevail over their friends. They're not doing it for faith. They're not doing it l'shem shemayim. They did not want to know from Hashem. Rashi pasuk beis vayad vayad ruchu loshen zeinoyfel b'hazmonas hakeshes liros chetz. This expression is used when you pull back the string on the bow to prepare the force to shoot the arrow. The keshes, what is keshes? Hoya. He tells what the French word is. Uviraglayim. Here is the secret. Uviraglayim. Dorchin oisa, the way they would pull back the strings of big bows in ancient times was with using their feet. They can exert much more force, much more pressure when you use your feet. Lekachay oiso dericha, blushin of derech. The road where your foot comes in contact with. The Navi himshul l'shonim l'keshes sheker. The Navi compares their tongues to a keshes, a bow of sheker. Shedaruchoy l'shonim keshes b'sheker. They would bend their tongue like as a bow in order to speak words of falsehood. Meir ol ra me'aver el avera keradak pasuk beis vayadrichu mibinyan hifil. They cause mishpatoy vayadrichu chomoru. They cause their tongues to be pulled back. L'shoinam, their tongues. Hi akeshes. The l'shoin is the keshes is the bow. Drucha. And the arrows are the words. The lips and the tongue are the bow. I guess really the lips are the bow, and the tongue is the string. You pull it back in order to get the words out, and the words that go forth are the arrows. Loy lamuna gavu ba'aretz mashahem miskabim u'mischaskim al hachaloshim. Loy lamuna sheyishbitu mishpat emes v'sheyimanu ha'oishkim. They don't do this because they care about the truth and they want to stop theft. Ki be'ro'el ro'el yatsu yesh l'farshu al ha'masim yotzim mimasei ra l'masei ra v'tzen lo'emar ki kol yimeim b'masim ra iskim. The entire day they're occupied in doing averos. Ata b'zev yata b'zev v'chol zev lo'y nasnu elibam sho'achas l'das Hashem. In all of this activity they don't even focus for 1 minute to think about the ribbono shel olam. V'yesh l'farshu al ha'inish, some will learn the reverse to the punishment. So what I want to say is, the Adaki was giving us another interpretation. According to the second interpretation, he's describing the Chorban. At the time of the Chorban, there's going to be Ra'ah el Ra'ah. There's going to be they're going to suffer, and they're going to go from one tzara to the next tzara. From one problem to the next problem. Before you can kick out of one tzara, you got to deal with the next tzara. Oy, loikim shana zu b'shidofayin. 1 year, the economy is not good for one reason, and the next year it's not good for another reason. B'shana zu b'yirokayin. Oy, ba'arbe. V'al kol zel loy nos libam loshuv mimasim horoim l'das es Hashem. Even though they suffer greatly, they go from one tzara to another tzara, they still do not get the hint, they don't get the message, and they do not do Teshuva. Okay, I'm going to remind everyone tomorrow, Mitzvah, we'll be making a siyum on the Chumash Megillos. Everyone is invited. Your wives are invited. If you want to invite a guest, by all means. If anyone would like to contribute towards the cost of the siyum, please, by all means, see either Rabbi Michal Miller, he's not here today, or Dr. Phil Friedman. They'll be very happy to help you. Amir Sashem, okay, so Mitzvah tomorrow at 9:30. So, again, Mitzvah tomorrow night, we're going to have a guest speaker, Rabbi Meir Pilatnik, Mir Tzashem Shlita, the brother of our very own Mr. Mark Pilatnik, will be our guest speaker, in addition to our in-house Rav Shmuel Mayevsky and Rabbi Shulman, the Rav of the Shul. Rabbi Shulman, the Rav of the Shul, will also, Mir Tzashem, be here. So hope we have a nice time tomorrow.